Absolutely. Okay, so this might be a great way to beat the heat. If you're sitting in air-conditioned comfort in your car right now, you're probably not feeling that warm. You know, you might be there for a while. But, you know, if you're not in your car and you're looking at this really warm weather that's coming out up, we're talking about, you know, 40 degrees in Sydney's west tomorrow and 41 degrees on Saturday, here's a great way to deal with the heat and get free air conditioning because somebody else is paying for it. Because the Museum of Sydney has two new exhibitions for you to see. You can educate yourself and you can educate your kids about early Sydney, early colonial Sydney, and do it in air-conditioned comfort. And the best news is admission is free. The air conditioning is free. Win, 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 win. The exhibitions are called Unearth and Dig It, and they reveal the stories hidden beneath the site of Australia's first government house in the heart of Sydney's CBD. Dr. Aaron D'Souza is the curator of the Unearthed exhibition. Dr. D'Souza, lovely to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Can you give us an idea of how the objects in the Unearthed exhibition were found back in the 80s and 90s?
Yes, so the site was, as you mentioned, the site of Australia's first government house. So it was built in 1788 for Governor Arthur Phillip, and then it was demolished in 1845, after which point all of the whatever remained of the house, the remains of the building, the bricks and bits and pieces of it all sort of lay underground hidden for about 150 years. In that time, there were temporary buildings put up there, there was a government office put up there, and then it eventually became a car park. But then in 1982, there was a proposal to build a 38-storey tower on the site, but before they could begin construction, they were required to do a historical or archaeological assessment of the site to see what remained of the building. And that happened, or that began in January 1983, and then within about 2 weeks of starting, they found the remains of the 1788 foundations, which was Phillip's original house. And along with that, they found the outbuildings where the kitchens were, the printing office, and from those things, they found about 140,000 artefacts, which tell us the story of what happened at the place.
Is that a blessing or a curse as a curator when you've got 140,000 things to choose from?
It was a bit of a curse. I mean, the collection's been stored and largely overlooked for a long time, and so this is sort of its moment in the sun. But navigating my way around the 140,000 objects and all of the associated documents was a bit of a challenge. So I sort of had to rely on a bit of past research that had been done on some of the more key objects, which were called special finds, and from that select the objects that would build the narrative of the exhibition.
So what are some of the things we can see in the Unearthed exhibition?
So the thing about this site is because it is a house, all the stuff was fairly domestic. So the stuff that's coming out of the ground are things like broken bits of pottery, broken glass, broken bricks, roof tiles, bits of, you know, food that was left over, so animal bones, cow bones and stuff like that. So it seems on the surface pretty ordinary, and a lot of times it'd be, you know, quite familiar, things that we would see still see today. But the point of the exhibition is that even these ordinary things have really extraordinary stories when you start unpacking them and thinking about them and asking them questions and looking at them from different perspectives. And that's really what the exhibition's trying to do.
And there's some sort of relics in there as well that indicate the occupation of country as well.
Yes. That's correct. So the main one, which is one of the sort of centerpiece objects of the exhibition, is called the foundation plate. Which is a copper plate that has an inscription on there by Governor Phillip saying that he's laid this foundation stone where he will build his house. And that was placed between two stones and buried in the site. So it is like a physical claiming of a place. But there's also remains of things like middens. So we know that the site previously, before British colonisation began in 1788, that the site was probably a campsite for Aboriginal communities. So we have remnants of their camping, their meals, some of their Aboriginal artefacts also came out of the site. And so it is this sort of layered history of, you know, tens of thousands of years of occupation by Aboriginal people and then the British arrive in 1788 and occupy the place in a different way.
Yeah, and some of those Indigenous artefacts include things that really feature ingenuity in the face of, you know, occupation and forced adaptation. These tools made from wine bottles.
Yes, wine bottles, beer bottles, all sorts of glass was discarded from the house. So when the fancy people living in the house, the governors and their guests were finished with all of their meals, they would throw their bottles in the kitchen dumps or the waste behind the house. But that material was then picked up and appropriated by First Nations people. So they did things like make tools for scraping, for cutting, some really fine blades, which you'll see in the exhibition as well. there's this quite beautiful, like from the inside, you know, where wine bottles are dented up on the inside. They took that part of the glass bottle and flaked off small pieces to make a sort of a small hand axe or a small scraper. But the way that it's been shaped kind of makes it look almost like a cut gemstone. So it's quite a beautiful, evocative object.
And there's something kind of funny that the fancy people in the fancy house were turfing plates down the loo, and you've got some of those plates on display.
Yes. They put a lot of things down privies back in those days.
And plates? Like, really?
There's three, or there's actually more than three. There's these three quite beautiful plates on display, which are these blue and white. You know, most people have seen these Oriental-inspired plates with this blue and white printed decoration on it. These three plates were found in a stack in what appears to be a privy, so a privy being an old toilet. And it looks like someone hid them there, or whether they were stolen from the house, or whether, you know, one idea that I've had is maybe the governor decided that he didn't like these plates anymore and wanted to get rid of them, but someone thought rather than just throwing them away, I'll take them home one by one, but I'll hide them in this toilet while I do that. But then when the house got demolished, they were left behind and stayed there for 150 years. So, yeah, they put a lot of stuff down toilets.
I find it extraordinary that plates would be hidden in a loo. But anyway, how significant was this dig on the site for our understanding of Sydney's colonial history?
First of all, the dig was hugely significant. It was one of the earliest and biggest excavations to happen in Australia up to that point. So this was 1983. So it had a big role in the development of the field of historical archaeology in Australia. So that's also important. But in terms of what it tells us about early colonial Sydney, the thing with archaeology is that it deals with the tangible. So it's the things you can touch. And so that adds an element that we can't get from written documents. So there's a lot of documentation about colonial Sydney, early Sydney, written by people who could read and write, so it's a very small audience. But the objects can add colour and smell and sound to these accounts. So if we think about, for example, letters that talk about, you know, these big elaborate dinners that they were having at the first government house to celebrate the king's birthday, the archaeology brings out some of those artefacts that would have been used there. So the plates, the glasses, the bottles of wine, the food remains and such. So it adds this sort of tangible aspect to history. But at the same time, we can use the tangible objects to get to intangible histories as well. So as part of the research for this project, we did a collaboration with an organisation called the Gujaga Foundation, which is a First Nations organisation, to get their perspectives on the artefacts. And in looking at the artefacts, they helped us to bring out some of these more sort of stories that aren't in the written records, so that the way that these objects are perceived and understood by First Nations communities, which has become an important part of the exhibition.
You're listening to Dr. Aaron D'Souza. We're talking about the Unearthed exhibition that's just opened at the Museum of Sydney. It's fabulous. It's free. And the air conditioning is free, and you get an education on part of Sydney's history as well when you go. So it's a bit of a win-win. The other thing is, you know, there's also what I think is a pretty interactive exhibition as well called Dig It. It sounds pretty hands-on, Dr. D'Souza. What happens in Dig It?
It's very hands-on. And so as the title suggests, you do dig it, but it is spelled like D-I-G-I-T, so it's also like digit because it's a bit digital. So what it is, it's a digitally simulated excavation. So there's projectors up on the roof that project sort of a little archaeological trench that you work in. You select your tools, so there's trowels, brushes, picks and such, and you excavate, at least sort of virtually excavate, a little square of land. And the idea is that you find objects, you learn about how an archaeologist works. Sometimes if you use the wrong tool, they'll break, and then the dig director's shadow pops over your shoulder to tell you what you did wrong. And then from there, or the other thing that's also, I should add, because it's nostalgic for people of my generation at least, is that it is quite a sort of tangible game as well. So there's joysticks and buttons. It's a pixelated sort of 8-bit 1980s vibe to go with the 1980s style of the dig. But then from there, once you've dug the objects out of the ground, there's also these beautifully 3D printed objects that are replicas of the artifacts in the show, where you can mend broken artifacts, you can do little study sheets about them. There's videos that tell you how specialist archaeologists study artifacts and what we can learn from different types of artifacts. So it is very interactive, and it also does give you a good sense of what what it is to be an archaeologist.
Where were you in 1984 when I needed you, when I was leaving Holroyd High School? I was gagging to be an archaeologist.
I think I was maybe 18 months old.
Well, see, there you go. That's what I'm one of those people that will enjoy the 80s vibe of Dig It. I can just pretend it's 1984 and I am going to become an archaeologist.
Yeah. It's fun for like kids and also like grown-up kids as well. So I think it's sort of can appeal to everybody.
Yeah, and apparently, you know, then you can sketch what you find and take it home and whack it on your wall as well.
Yep, exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Really lovely chatting to you.
Pleasure talking to you.
That's Dr. Aaron D'Souza, the curator of Unearthed and Dig It at the Sydney Museum. If you're keen on having a look at it, from tomorrow, you can head in there. It opens tomorrow at this Museum of Sydney on the corner of Bridge and Phillip Streets in the CBD. Entry is free. You get all that. So just walk in and have a look at it. You get an education on Sydney's early colonial history and also get to pretend you're an archaeologist. So just, you know, hum the Indiana Jones theme to yourself as you walk in.